think it was January 2004, the last time my mother actually called our house to speak to me. I've called her several times, but that was the last time that she called to speak to me. And all because I pointed out to her that she's living in violation of what Dad preached for 63 years. And what she even taught me as a Sunday school teacher when I was a kid. And it has offended her. Because it, she did not appreciate it. You know, it brings to mind the words of Christ when they said, your mother and your brethren are out here and they want to speak to you. And he said, behold, a mother, a brother. And it was people that was no kin. But he said, they are. Why? Because they're in the family of God. And you and I today, you know, that's a far better family. One that's more dependable than that earthly bloodline. Because after all, right today, because of the stand that I've took, not that I believe something weird separate from the Bible, but because I believe everything that the Bible says and that we're supposed to stand upon it. I have a very cold relationship with all of my family. Yet, they still claim to be a Christian. And you and I today, you know, according to the Bible, you know, if we are angry at some person for telling us what the Bible says, we're really angry with God. We're mad at God's Word. And we're not going to win that argument. You know, now if I come to you and I say, I believe so and so, then fine, you can disagree with me. You have all right to disagree with me because I'm giving you my opinion. But if I come to you and I say, this is what the Bible says, you can disagree all you want to. But that's not going to change it. If you disagree with me on my opinion, you might be as right as I am. But when it comes to the Word of God, I can read it and say I don't believe it, but that don't change it. It's still true. I read it to you, I tell you this is what the Word of God said, and you say, I don't believe that, I don't think that applies today. That don't change it, it's still true. And we will stand before God and give an account. I'd like for somebody, and I put this challenge out, and I did over the radio, when we was on the radio, if I preach, or I teach something that's not Bible, I want you to call me on it. If I take a stand on something that's wrong, I want somebody to call me on it. And I haven't yet had anybody to challenge me. I've had people to disagree with what that I was saying on the Word of the Lord. And I said, they said, well, so-and-so don't see it that way. I said, bring them. I said, we won't take, I believe, we'll take the Word of the Lord. And we'll sit down and we'll take what the Word of God says from Genesis to Revelation. And if they can prove me wrong by the Word of God, I'll say amen and hug their neck and love you for it. I said, but don't bring somebody to me saying, yeah, but now I believe this. I said, what we believe ain't worth a dime if it can't be backed up by the Bible. They haven't got a preacher one. They've got preachers that'll stand and tell them, oh, you're all right. They're just a little too strict. But they won't come and confront me with it. Why? Because the Bible is still the Word of God. And they would much rather soothe somebody's conscience by saying, I believe this. I don't think it's necessary. times have changed, this or that, and try and explain it away. But we cannot explain the Word of God away. You can do all you want to. Old Pilate thought that a little bowl of water was going to get rid of the blood of that innocent man. But if he didn't get on his knees, someone other would pray and repent his life. When he stood before God, he fell down. That blood was still there. And he had to give an account of it. And you and I could do it. We can't get it all over our head. So we must have it applied to our heart. And we don't want to stand before God and be guilty. And I thank God His Word don't change. That's one thing I can depend upon. I've had friends, loved ones, desert me, turn their back upon me, forsake me, whatever words you want to use. But I'm so thankful that the Word of God is still the same, and it hasn't changed, and I can still lean upon it and know that it's right there where it was. You know, I'm a bad one. My wife has always been on to me about this. I'll get up in the middle of the night and walk all over the house and never turn the light on, because I know where things is at. And I know where to reach out and get a hold of a post at the stair, though it's in the dark. I know where it's at. I remember where it's at. I've sat and read the Bible and a thought would come to mind and I couldn't remember where it was. But I would remember where it was located on the page and what book it was in, but I couldn't remember the chapter or even the word. But I knew it was in the left-hand column on the right side of the page. And I go looking into that column, even remembering that the top part of it at the bottom part. So I just started the first chapter and flipped through, and I would find where it was. Why? You and I today, in the wonderful God, don't change. Those animals are right there for us to reach out and take hold of when we need the strength to stand. And I thank God that we can depend upon Him. All right, if I can see to read tonight, got tears on my glasses and eyes puddled up. But in 2 John, just a one-chapter book. I want to read just a few verses, and I want you to pay close attention to this and what it says. You know, it's so sad when you hear people on the radio talk about the work that they're doing for the Lord, the stand that they're taking for God, and how that they are reaching out to do a wonderful work for God, and then they'll invite people to come and go and have some big party with them on a beach somewhere or another, and all of us communicate and get closer to God and make sure you bring your bathing suits and all of this. And you know, people, we're coming into summertime and people think that's real weird. But you know, God killed animals to clothe Adam and Eve. And there wasn't nobody on earth but those two people. A man and his wife. And He didn't say He killed a dove. But he killed animals. And people go out on the beach today. Two doves would hide all that they're hiding. And it's pitiful. And yet they'll say, I'm a Christian. No, we're not. You and I, you know, I can remember years ago, my boss, he paid for a room for me and my family to go down to Ocean City. Because he just felt like that I'd earned, I guess, a vacation, and I never took one. So he paid, I forget, a day or two.
at this hotel for us to go down to the beach. And we went down there and we stayed in the room over daytime and went out late in the evening when it got so cool that people wasn't out on the beach. Oh, we was out real early in the morning picking up the seashells. But it wasn't fit to be out any other time of the day. You and I today, God wants us to be dressed like a creature, walk like a creature, talk like a creature, 7 days a week, no matter where we are. And when I was a kid, brother, my dad to take us down to the river and take us swimming, but I never seen my dad without any clothes on. So I seen him having a bypass surgery in the hospital when he was laying there unconscious and didn't know that he was uncovered. He went swimming in his clothes and we didn't tell why. Dad didn't want us out there to get you and I today, and we passed that they say there's a standard that we won't compromise. Why? Because our Christianity goes deeper than the name of a church, boy. It goes to the devil and the mind of the bone.
And we're not willing to compromise it. You and I today, sin is going to be paid for. And I don't know why I've got on that, but maybe before summer really gets here, I can preach a message on the Word that lets us know that any way that we dress to entice the opposite sex, to make them lust or desire, is a sin. If you're dressing, you know, I heard in the news, it's talking about in Texas, some school district is putting in some kind of a rule in their books against their cheerleaders. Any dress or any provocative moves that would be interpreted sexual in nature will not be allowed. And I thought, boy, commend that school district for at least starting to get a little bit of backbone. You and I today, it's a shame that in church, and I stood in the pulpit and seen this, when you couldn't hardly raise your head and look at the crowd, especially those sitting on the front bench, because of the nakedness that women were showing. And you know, that's not becoming a Christian, even if it's out away from church, and it's surely not in church. All right, in 2 John, the 9th verse, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, you and I today, people act like, well, you know, I'm not my brother's judge. I'm not my brother's keeper. I'm not responsible for what he does. He can do whatever he wants to. And I know Christian people that didn't have a bit more backbone than to let a lost person come and put their beer right in their refrigerator in their house. And here God said, if you do anything like that, if you as much as bid them Godspeed in the thing that they're doing wrong, you're a partaker in it. So, each and every one of us, we need to realize God does not judge by the rules that man keeps. God's got His own set, and He laid it down and made it plain for us to see. All right, in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and the 12th and 13th verse, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of a joint and mind, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, as I mentioned there before, it was just Adam and Eve on the earth, and God killed animals and dressed them with the skins. And God, here, He made it plain, He didn't do that to protect them from Him, because the clothes is not there as far as that part. He said, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You know, man a lot of times thinks, you know, we've got things hid, but we could get some kind of a ungodly tattoo on our body and think just because we got it covered up, nobody knows about it, God knows about it. You and I, no matter what we put on, we hide nothing from God. No matter what we want to think within our mind, it don't cover up those deep thoughts in our mind that is not pleasing, that is not right unto God. And God said that you and I, whatever's in our mind, whatever we think, whatever's in our heart, that's what we are. And today God wants us to realize that from a pure heart comes pure thought. Pray, Lord, God, the evil thoughts of man. Where did murder come from? It comes from an evil heart. Where did adultery come from? It comes from an evil heart. Where did fornication come from? It comes from an evil heart. First the deed is performed in the heart before it ever put into action. Man lusts after a woman before he ever goes and breaks her in city and town, before he ever puts the act in the process. You and I today see it always done in our mind and in our heart before we ever go out and perform the very deed. But yet it's still sin, because the Bible said to look on a woman and to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. For you and I to go out and covet anything the neighbor has is sin already. We look at his house and say, that is really a nice house. I deserve that. I wish that was mine. I deserve that more than he does. We've already seen just over that body. God said for you and I to be content with that we have. If we learn to be content with what we got, God may send something better down the road for us. Why? Because we wouldn't contend if while we're in trouble today. You look back there in the Bible, old Amos come to Elisha wanting his leprosy healed. He first went to the king, and the king finally sent to Elijah. But Elisha told him to send him over, and Elisha sent him third out. And told him, go dip 7 times in Jordan. And the man got mad. And he said, I expected he'd come out and say something to his God. Only he won't be or something to recover the leprosy. But because of it, he was mad, he go home back to his country. Because there were better readers back there. There wasn't as dirty as torn as wood. But his servant said, if he had given up something great for the other, why not go do what did he ask of it? And the father said when he will and was obedient, his skin come between as a baby's skin, pure and clean, no leprosy at all. He went back to give him his reward and to pay all of that he had brought with him. And the prophet said he didn't want it. He had no need of it. And after he left, a servant thought he didn't charge him anything. And he had so much. I'll go get just a little bit for me. So he makes up a lie and he goes and tells him that two sons of the prophets had come. And could he have some silver and some of the raiment for him? So he gives him two changes of clothes and gives him twice the amount of silver. He goes back and thinks he's going to hide it. Elisha calls him and told him. He said, because of what you did, the leprosy of Naaman will be upon you and not only you, but upon your seed. You and I today, when we take hold of sin, disobedience unto God, we might not only be doing with ourselves, but our children, and their children. It's so hard to get a family when they turn down a dark road. They get a turn back around. Children want to grow up to be like dad. Little girls want to grow up to be like mom. And God wants you and I to be examples that they might know what it is to be a Christian. And today, there's ever been a time that people needs to realize God's Word was sent for a purpose. You know, I can remember back when I was in sin and the thoughts that would come to my mind and how I would just dwell upon them because I was not condemned over those thoughts because they was greater sins in my life. I had not asked God to forgive me. I had not seen my need for being a Christian. I had not seen what Christ had done that I might have that opportunity to be a Christian. So the sin, it was there. But I was not condemned over each little thing. But when I got right with the Lord and a wrong thought come to mind, as soon as it entered in, there in my heart, I felt wrong. I felt that condemnation, that shame. And it was there and I prayed about it. You and I today, if we let the devil come in with just a little thought and we don't do something about it and we just push it aside, we override that feeling of condemnation and we just keep pushing it aside, after a while we can dwell upon it and we'll feel nothing. Why? We're back a child of the devil and God's not going to put up with you and I just turning ourselves over to sin and still calling ourselves a child of the King. He's going to withdraw from it. And when he does, if we die that chair, we'll stand before God, Lord. God wants you and I to be a pure spring of water, bubbling up righteous, that the world might see a pure creature, that it might see the testimony of just what it is. To be a person that's separated from the things of this world. You know, the last part of that, it said, whom we have to do. You know, we might think that we're getting by. We might think that we've got things here. We might think we've even got God on our side when we're living contrary to what His Word says. We might even think that we're so special that God's going to overlook that we've done. But when we stand before God, we're going to have to do business with Him. Here, we are not bound. We are not bound. We're free to make any decision we want to make. But when we stand at judgment, what did He say? Those whose names are not found written in the book of life, He said, bind them hand and foot and cast them in outer darkness. You and I today, think of it. Wouldn't it be awful? Have you ever played the game of being tied up? I've seen little boys play this, and I can remember playing and having my hands tied, my feet tied. And it's fun for a little while, but if you can't get loose, after a while, it gets terrible and uncomfortable. It ain't a comfortable position that you can get in. Or think of being that way and burned it at the same time. No wonder it said, "The worm dieth not." It must look like a bunch of worms there just squirming and wiggling in the flames of hell. Those that neglect the plan of salvation, they might think it foolish, but God said the beginning of wisdom is to recognize His Word and how true that it is. Each one of us today, please, don't let the things of this world distract you from what God has for you. Because we're going to have to do business with Him. And either we accept the fact that God's Word is right and we're wrong, or we accept the fact that we're just going to spend eternity in hell, and that's what we're residing to. You know, I was thinking the other day, I'd like to ask Darren. Darren, do you believe there's a heaven? Do you believe there's a hell? Can't you remember your granddad preaching about it? Don't you believe that he knew what he was talking about? Don't you believe the Word of God is truth? To go on and just live ignorantly and blind in sin. What is in a person's mind? Have they no intentions of ever turning and coming to God? Do people just think that what they're enjoying in this life is so good that it's worth being for eternity in hell? Anyone that thinks that does not realize what flame is really like. They don't realize what the torture of being burnt is really like. They don't realize the pain and the suffering. They must say, "Oh, we can't stand it alone. It'll just be over in a little while." God's Word said forever and ever. And you and I today, those that die go to hell, they'll be in flame and the torment is long in God. Sets up on His own. And He said that there was no end to God. You and I today. God is reaching for us. Don't sell God out for something of this world that's of no value. Don't sell God out for anything that you can find in this world, because I don't care how much value you put on it. When this world is done away with, you'll find that what you was valuing at was far overvalued. You know, Bible asks the question, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Today, there's all kinds of people that sold their self out. They're sold even for almost nothing. But when they come face to face with eternity and their loss, and they see what's facing them, if it was within their power, they would be willing to trade this whole world and everything that's in it if they could just avoid going at what's waiting for them. But there's no way out. No way out. While we get some song to sing, what's in your life today? Is it what God wants you to be? Are you truly living the way that God wants you to live? Do you have that Spirit of the Lord on the inside? Have you truly passed from death unto life? You know, the Bible speaks about a form and a fashion, a seem right. right way. You and I today, the biggest majority of the world is in that same right way. You know, the Muslim that's out and blowing himself up to kill other people thinks he's right. But if you take time to read God's Word and throw that garbage Quran in the garbage and read God's Word, you find out, I've wasted my life. I've gone to stand before a just God. I went out of this life with murder in my heart, and I'll stand before God with that. Christ said for you and I to be a follower of Him. How did He die? He died giving His life. Not taking life, but giving His life. You and I, that's what He expects of us. Paul, He didn't take life after He come to know God, but He laid His life down that He might put forth the Word of God. That gospel to other people, you and I today, that's what God wants out of every person that comes to the knowledge of God. I don't care what a president says or anybody else they can say. The Muslim religion is not a violent religion, but the Quran, if they come by it, it is violent. It teaches that. It teaches sin. But God said, come out from these things. Be a separated people. Be born again. Follow me. Walk in love. And you are not today. God's Word is not changed. It's still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. While we stand and sing, will you go? Each one of us today has a door of opportunity opened unto us because that Christ cared enough to come and die. Nobody else has died for the sins of man. Nobody. Only Christ. And His is the only blood that God accepts. Why? Because it is His own Son. And unless you've had that applied unto your heart and life by kneeling on your knees and being born again, not by saying, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but getting on your knees and truly repent with a broken heart, unless you've come that way, because that's the way that God said that we'd have to come. You're still lost. Each one of us today, we're going to have to humble ourselves before God. If we ever expect to make it to heaven, will you come? The decision is yours. No one else can make it for you.